All right. I'll preach fast if you listen fast, right? There's a storm coming, apparently. I looked at it on the weather radar. You're going to get a lot of rain. Amen, right? Ain't that amazing? We pray for rain and we don't get it, and sometimes we don't need as much rain. We get a ton of it, don't we? That's next Saturday and Sunday. I'm hoping it is raining, brother, to be honest with you. We'll put it off another week. No, pray for rain, please. I think it's going to rain up to the day we do move. I think is how it's going to work. We're going to move on Friday into that new building, and they're just going to let it wait till then. There's something I do want to mention. We talked about going on a youth trip this year, and we do have some information on that. We are looking at going to Teen Extreme, which is in Pensacola. It's PCC, Pensacola Christian College. They put it on every year. I need to get an idea of who is interested in going on that trip. You have to be 13 years or older. I'm sorry for some of y'all that are younger. That's just the way that it works. You got to be that teenage age, right? Yes, I do have the dates. It is going to be in my list of stuff here that Leslie sent me that I'm supposed to talk about. June 12th through the 16th. So, I think that's right. Is that right? That was right. Miss Page knew. Yes. June 12th through the 16th will be the dates for that. The cost of that is $230 per person, okay? If you can't afford it, you need to talk to me. Don't let that be the reason why you do not go as a teenager, okay? If you want to go, we'll figure out a way to make you go, okay? We'll get that taken care of. So don't let that be the reason you don't go. We will be going with a church called Hopeful Riverside out of Hopeful, Alabama. It's a good friend of mine. Corey Dennis is the pastor there. Brother Houston Gay is the youth pastor. And they have some people that go with them. Brother Randy is a guy that does he does home remodeling and stuff like that. He helps with their youth program there, too. I know him really well. And that's who I go to preaching class with every third Monday night. So we're going to have that offered to you. But I do need to get an idea of who wants to go. And I know everybody's not here, but I need to know. If you are interested in going, you need to let me, Miss Page, or Miss Leslie know. I don't care if it's just one. If you want to go, we'll figure out a way to make you be able to go. If it's just some girls, Miss Page, Miss Leslie will probably take you. If it's a boy, I'll take you. I know you're real excited about that. I'll take you myself if it's just a boy. If it's boys and girls, of course, it'll be me and my wife, and I think Miss Page is going to go, and I'm going to see if I can strangle Brother Terry into going, amen. So I don't have to be alone. But now I think it'll be a good thing. I know that the church hasn't really done a whole lot of that. I'm trying to change that, and I want to change it now because it's a good time to change it. Eventually, we're going to have more than just a few of the youth. We're going to have a lot more youth. And if we have a lot more, I want them to know that they get to do something in the summer. They get to actually enjoy something that can actually help them. It'll be good preaching that they get to hear. They get to go to a good Christian college to experience what that could look like. They'll be able to see maybe if that's something they're interested in. I've told you before, Pensacola Christian College is not something I just shove down your throat because there's a lot of other colleges you can go to. But at least it'll give you a Christian-based education, okay? It'll give you some type of Christian standard instead of just being thrown to whatever. Some of you may not even be interested in college. That's cool, too. Guess what? You can go and have fun, and that's fine, too. Go and have fun, listen to some good preaching, and have a good time. So if you're interested in that, please get with me, get with Miss Page, or get with Miss Leslie. And if you don't think you can afford it, we'll figure that out, okay? That is not going to be the problem. If you want to go, all you got to do is let me know. But I got to know so that we can start getting the ball rolling on as far as, like, all the logistics of how we're going to get down there, who's actually going to go, and all of these things, okay? We have to get the money together because it'll be here before you know it. So I do want to start getting that prepared and ready to go. So I think all that business is taken care of. Amen. Now we can preach. All right, take your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I was looking through quotes, and I haven't given a quote in quite a while, and I like them. A missionary, C.T. Studd, wrote this. He said, "I am getting desperately afraid of going to heaven, for I have had the vision of the shame I shall suffer as I get my first glimpse of the Lord Jesus, His majesty, power, and marvelous love for me, who treated Him so meanly on earth and acted as though I did Him a favor in serving Him. No wonder God shall have to wipe away the tears of all the faces, for we shall be brokenhearted when we see the depth of His love and the shallowness of ours." Boy, when you really think about that, we act like we do something because we get up and go to church on Sunday morning. You act like you do something because you get up and preach or teach a Sunday school class. Act like you do something because you go tell somebody about Jesus Christ. It's not that those things aren't good. They're needful. They're things that need to be done. But when you really realize what God did for you and put it in perspective, man, it's the least of things you could do. Me studying to preach, that's just an honor to be able to do it. It's just an honor to be able to share the gospel one more time with somebody else. It's an honor to be able to hold the Word of God in my hand and be able to just proclaim Jesus as Lord and Savior. To hopefully be able to see somebody lost come down to this altar and get saved. To be able to see somebody that's brokenhearted be able to get some help with the Word of God. It's just my reasonable service. It's just what I should do. Because God's the one who did everything. He's the one who shed His blood for us. He's the one who gave His life for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 17, the Bible says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." That right there will mess up a lot of doctrine, won't it? Ooh-wee. Mess that up real quick. I'm sent to baptize, right? Baptism is a good thing. It's needed. I think it's a great ordinance of the church. It's being able to sit there and say, "Hey, this is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is what I believed in." It doesn't make you more saved. It doesn't get you saved. All it is a picture of salvation. That's what it is. I believe in actually putting somebody under the water. Amen. That represents the death. I ain't sprinkling you. I don't care what the Methodists do. I don't care about that. I don't care what the Catholics do. They can keep all that. There's something to immersing somebody in some water. Guess what? That's the picture of the death of Jesus Christ. That's the picture. That's what it is. But you know, I didn't just come here to baptize you. Because if all I did was put you in some water, guess what? You can die lost and go to hell. Just be wet. Amen? That's all that it is. Paul goes on to say, "Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." You know, we get too caught up in our education, right? You ever thought about that? If you look at chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Paul didn't come to these people and say, "Hey, listen to how good I speak. Listen to all the knowledge that I have." He just said, I want to know whether you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. That's what I'm here for, is to preach the gospel. And so many churches get away from that. Nobody wants to preach the gospel anymore. The gospel's where your hope is. You don't have hope without the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. A personal relationship with Him. He died on the cross for your sins, folks. He paid the ultimate price. He gave you a free gift of salvation. It's unto them, but only upon them that believe. You have to believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Quit adding stuff to it. Just keep it like it is. Simple. I believe that's kind of what Paul's talking about here. Just keep it simple. My dad says that a lot. Keep it simple, stupid. Amen. He talks to me like that sometimes. I'll be trying to create something and sitting there saying, Dave, you do it this way, fix it. Just keep it simple, stupid. You know, if we do that, it'd be a whole lot easier, wouldn't it? A lot of times, a situation can be fixed pretty simply. A lot of times, you just have to get out of the way. You realize God did all the work. Amen? We talk about renewing your mind in Sunday school class. What do you got to do to renew your mind? Put God first, right? Put God first. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. You put God first, things will change. Verse 18 in chapter 1, the Bible says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I like that verse right there. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. They think it's pointless, right? You know why? Because they don't understand what Jesus Christ did for them. When the world looks at us and we come to this place and we sit here and say, you know what, we believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins and we worship Him over the fact that He shed blood for us, they think we're crazy. Right? It's the way they view it. That's the way that they see it. But unto us which are saved, that ain't a process. Some of y'all, I thought I'd get that, but you didn't. Which are saved. This ain't a process. It don't happen over and over and over and over again. Hey, some things that say it's over and over again, but guess what? It ain't. It's a one-time deal. You accept Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, guess what? You're Ephesians 4:30, sealed to the day of redemption. You couldn't get out if you wanted to. Amen right there. You ought to say amen even if you're just still asleep. That's good preaching. Sealed to the day of redemption. I can't get out. He loved me that much. He loved me so much that He'd go to this cruel Roman cross. It's not a process. It's a one-time thing. You accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you're sealed. Which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer? And this world, of this world, excuse me, hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Ain't that amazing that He'd use the foolishness of preaching to do it? Because that's how they view it, right? This is foolishness. It's foolish to get up every Sunday morning. It's foolishness to come every Wednesday night to listen to somebody get up and preach that Bible. That's what they think. You know, I sit back and I think about, always. There's always a song, right? Amen. There's always a song. It's just the way my mind goes. And I think about a song that the Crabb family did. Gerald Crabb wrote it. And it says, talking about the cross, and it says, to some it's just an emblem, a formality. It's a symbol that's been used so frequently. Many blaspheme and despise. Though it's ancient, it abides. A shrine to death that stands for life to me. Man, can you really grasp that? You see, we have this thing, this cross, and everybody puts it on their little necklaces, right? Amen. And they look cute. And I'm not against them. As long as you know what they mean. As long as you know what they mean. I think they can be used as great tools. You see girls wearing cross earrings. Nowadays, not all girls, just some girls. Throw that out there. Some guys wear them. That's fine, too. Mr. T used to have one. Who remembers Mr. T? Thank you. A-team. That's what I'm talking about. I was hoping somebody my age remembered who I was talking about. He used to have them that big long one. I used to think it was the coolest thing. I'm going to get me one of them one day. Y'all wouldn't let me pasture here if I had me one, though. As long as I get the hair to go with it. Amen. I'm close. But you think about that cross and how it's just a symbol in this day and age. Everybody wears one, right? Saved or not saved, boy, they just put that cross on. Catholic Church has a real good one. You know, they have the cross up there behind everything, and they have it all over the place, and they still got God hanging on it. I'm telling you right now, God don't need to be on it anymore. He got off of it. If you're wearing one that's got Jesus Christ still hanging on it, I'd throw that in the way, okay? You say, oh, that's sacrilegious. No, no, it's sacrilegious to still have him hanging on the cross. That ain't Bible. He got off. He went up on that cruel Roman cross, but he came down from that cross. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. Clarify my position on that one right there. I don't like that. Do not like it. But that symbol. And a lot of times it becomes to the place where you sit there and you wear a cross and you're trying to make an example of things, and maybe you're just trying to say, hey, I do identify with Christ, and you're wearing this thing, but the world just looks at it as some kind of religious symbol. It's been watered down. But what's it mean to you? You know, he went to that cruel Roman cross and paid a debt for you, right? You ever read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Guess what? All four of them, you can get something good about the cross. You can just read the story right there, the whole thing. Every single one of the Gospels, you can read the story of the crucifixion. Most of you have read it, right? Have you ever thought about this? Jesus Christ didn't deserve to go to it, right? We on the same page. Okay. Jesus Christ did not deserve to be there. He lived a sinless life. They could find no fault in him. None. Pilate washed his hands of it. He said, his blood won't be on mine. Won't be on my hands. Why? Because he couldn't find fault in him. He couldn't find any fault in him. So he washed his hands of it. And what did they do? They had three crosses, right? They had three prisoners. Three people that deserved to be there. You ever thought about that one that didn't have to go? Barabbas, right? Barabbas was a murderer. They took a murderer and said, here, Jesus, you're going to take his cross. We're going to let him go free. We're going to let Barabbas go free, the murderer. We'll let him off free, but Jesus, you've got to go. And he willingly took it. Even in that whole scenario, you see him sitting there starting to work, right? You think about that sinful person of Barabbas and how bad he was and how much he deserved to hang on that cross, right? You deserve consequences for your sins, right? I assume if you killed somebody, hey, hanging on a cross is probably what you deserved in that day and age. Maybe what you deserve in this day and age. Just clarify my position. Is wrong. But guess what? Jesus says, you know what? I'll take your cross, Barabbas. You can go free. I know you deserve it. But you can go free. You say, oh, it didn't work that way. They told him he had to go on. No. If God had wanted to die a different way, guess what? He'd have died a different way. You see, I just believe the book. I believe God died when he wanted to die. I believe God gave up the ghost when he chose to give up the ghost. And I believe God came to this earth and said, you know what? If I got to go to a cruel Roman cross, I'll go to the cruel Roman cross for him. And I think it's a picture of it. Even in Barabbas' life, he's sitting there saying, hey, this sinful person who deserves something, guess what? You get off. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. You see, that's how we all are, right? We're all dirty. We're all filthy with sin. We come before an almighty God and stand before him and say, hey, will you please save me from a burning hell? Will you please just save me? You know, we get this bad misconception that you have to fix everything before you get saved. That's hogwash, by the way. Ain't nothing Bible about that. Everybody start talking about it. It's become this new thing. You got to be cleaned up and you've got to be perfect and you've got to be right before you can get saved. No, you get saved to get right. God has to live within you to be able to change your life. You can't change it on your own. I don't care what you try to give up. I don't care what you try to change. You will never be right without God. It's impossible. It's impossible. You have to have God in your life to change things. You have to have a relationship with Him. And then guess what? When you get the relationship with Jesus Christ, He will fix things in your life. He will change you. He will make you new. Now the flip side of that is do you want to be new? Right? You know, He still gives you free will, right? You still make bad choices. But Jesus Christ said, you know what? I can help you as long as you believe in me. We're just sinful people that deserve hell. That's what we deserve. I really want you to understand the importance of this cross. It's more than just the symbols that we put in our church buildings, and it's more than the symbols that you wear. It's more than just the stuff that you see on TV that makes it Christian. He shed His blood on it for you. He gave His everything. And it is our responsibility to preach the cross of Jesus Christ. Sometimes I don't know if people really truly get it anymore. Sometimes I don't think people really care anymore, I'll be honest with you. I think there's a handful of people that actually pick up the Word of God, they actually try to read it, they try to study it, they try to learn more out of it, they try to get something out of it, they try to see other people saved, they want to see other people's lives changed, and I think the rest of them just don't care anymore. I'm talking about saved folks. They've gotten such a dark place in their life that they just put everything about God and just said, you know what? It's a scary place to be. But God will let you go there. God will let you go there. I think about this. I heard a story one time, and I'll be honest with you, I ain't going to say that I understand it all. It's not for me to understand everything, I don't guess. There was this young guy that was preaching, and he said this older gentleman came up to his service that he was preaching at in West Virginia. He said, man, I got up there and I was preaching. I was preaching the cross and I was preaching salvation, man. And I was just trying to see people's lives change. I was trying to see somebody lost maybe come down to the altar and get saved. He said, and I was just preaching it. And he said, every night for four nights, an 87-year-old man raised his hand and said he wasn't saved. Every single solitary night, he'd get done preaching. He'd say, hey, if anybody here is lost, would you just raise your hand? And this 87-year-old man raised his hand every night. Every night. And he said, I really honestly didn't know what to do. He would not come down to the altar. He said, I didn't know if it was because he thought maybe at his age that would look bad, or maybe he just didn't feel comfortable. He says, I didn't know what to do. And he said, finally, the old man came out on the last night of revival. And he said, I felt like God just gave me liberty to say, hey, what's going on? He said, this older gentleman walked up beside him and told him, I appreciate the message, and shook his hand. And the preacher looked at him and said, can I ask you something, sir? And he said, yeah. He said, you've raised your hand every night of revival. Every single solitary night of revival, you've raised your hand. He said, you weren't saved. You were dying and going to hell. He said, why wouldn't you come down here and talk to me? He said, that old gentleman looked at him and said, you know, he said, when I was 16 years old, he said, I went to a revival. He said, the preacher got up and, man, he preached his heart out. He preached the cross of Jesus Christ. He preached about the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He preached believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Nothing more, nothing left. He said, the people just came, just by the hundreds they came to get saved. And he said, and I sat in my pew and I did not move. He said, I held on to that pew because I told God, I got more life that I want to live. And he said, it was almost like God looked at me and said, you know what? Then I'm done with you. And he said, now all these years later, he said, I've been in church service, after revival, and he said, I know I'm dying and going to hell, but I cannot get the conviction on me anymore. He said, it's like he just left me. He said, I know I'm going to hell, but it's like he's not there calling me anymore. Of course, my mind says if you have acknowledgement, I believe you can get saved. I know enough theology and I know enough doctrine to believe that. But I can understand his mindset. You get to that place, the Bible talks about past feeling. You can do that as a Christian too. You realize you can go so far down a hole that you sit back and you go, it's like he doesn't even talk to me anymore. You get so far from God in your life that he doesn't even feel like he even is speaking to you anymore. Guess what? He died on a cross for you. I think he wants to have a relationship with you. I would think that somebody that was willing to die for you would want to have a relationship with you. You'd die for your kids, right? Every single person in here that's got a child, you would give your life up for that child, right? Guess what? You want to have a relationship with her, don't you? She's your number one thing. You got your wife, and you got your kids, and you want to have a relationship with her. You want to see her grow up. You want to see them boys grow up to be good boys, right? Good Christian men. Why? You want to have a relationship with them. Don't you think God wants to have a relationship with you? Don't you think God wants to have a relationship with you? He died on a cross for you. And everybody sits there and says it's just foolishness to keep preaching it. No, it's not foolishness to preach it. It's not. Just because the world says it is doesn't mean that it is. I'm going to preach it anyways. I don't care what the world thinks about it. Why? Because I want the world to understand that somebody died for them. I want the world to understand that we come to this church to be able to serve a God who died for our sins and can help us in our bad situations. I want to see you encouraged, uplifted. I want to see you know more about the Word of God, and I want to see your soul saved if you're dying and going to hell. That's why I get up every morning and do this. I wouldn't drive an hour and a half if I did not care about you that much. I've told you hundreds of times, I can't fix all your situations. Y'all deal with stuff, and I don't even know what some of the stuff y'all deal with, but I can't fix all of them. But if you just give me a shot to talk to you, man, I'd love to be able to just sit there and say, this is what the Word of God says about it. Because I care about you that much. I don't want you to wait another minute. We talked about it this morning. I want you to engage it. I want you to start fighting back just a little bit. It's worth the fight. You can't always believe the lies. You have to engage it. Every preacher I talk to deals with the same stuff. They just want to help. They just want to see one more soul saved. They just want to see one more life changed. But yet it's like the people just sit there and act like they can't talk to them. Why do you act like you can't talk to the preacher? He's the same as you. He's probably dealt with the same problems you've dealt with. Amen? I'm no different from you. Guess what? I was saved just like you are. I was called to the ministry just like you're called to your ministry. Yours may be different from mine, but guess what? It's still ministry. We all have a job to do. Every single one of us. The cross is important. It's more than just symbols. It's more than just ritual stuff. I don't come here to just try to say I baptized 17 people this year. That's what a lot of preachers do. I don't keep up with those numbers like that. You know what I write down in my book? Reese gave her life to the Lord. Bree gave her life to the Lord. You know, I don't write Chip got to lead Bree to the Lord. God allowed me to lead Bree to the Lord. But guess what? God saved her. Chip didn't save her. Chip didn't save Reese. God saved Reese. Chip didn't have anything to do with it. Reese and God got it fixed. I just got to read some Bible verses. That's all I did. I just read what the Bible said. They're the ones that had a conversation with God. They're the ones that got their heart right with God. Guess what? That's all I want to do with everybody in here. I just want to make sure that you got a relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to be able to sit back and just read some verses for you, and then you be able to sit back and go, you know what, God? It's between me and you. If you think it's notches in my belt, you have lost it. You are mistaken. This ain't about me. This is about what God has done. This is all about Him. I just want God to be able to use me a little bit. I'm not the smartest person. You know that by now. Amen. I didn't go to cemetery. Amen. I'm not going to go either, okay? If you're waiting on me to go, I'm not going. I go to Bible school. Amen. There's a difference. You don't believe it? Come talk to me about it. I'll let you know. I can tell you what cemetery tells you. I didn't go to seminary. I go to Bible school. I try to get a better education. Try to learn something about the Word of God. Try to figure out different things about the Word of God as far as my studies and get further in the Word of God so that I can know more things. I think that's good to do. That comes with studying the Word of God according to 2 Timothy 2:15. I want to know more. I want to be able to study it more. Why? So I can help you. In the moment that you need help, that's why I study it, so that I can help you. That's why you should study it, so you can know what God can help you with. So you can know when you sit back and go, I'm in this situation, and God says, hey, this is how you fix it. Right here, this is what you need to do. But I'm not the smartest person. I don't know all the answers. But I know who does. I know who has all the answers. You know, I've sat down with people and I've talked to them about certain situations in their life and stuff they've dealt with, and I've sat down with some messed up kids, and I've sat down with people that are in jail and all this kind of stuff, and they've got stories that you wouldn't believe, things that they've gone through, things that they've experienced in their life. And you know what? I can't even relate to them. I can't relate to somebody who took another person's life. I've never even... Well, I'm not going to say that, but... You know, Brother Scott brought that up last week. I never even really thought about taking somebody's life. That's not something that I ponder on. So I can't even relate to when he says, hey, this is what I did. Now what am I supposed to do now? Guess what you're supposed to do now? Get your life right with God. Right? Move forward. Why? Because he died on a cross for you. Because the preaching of the cross is important. And guess what? You might be able to reach somebody that nobody else can reach. And guess what? You may have to do it sitting in this jail cell, but guess what? God's still giving you that opportunity. I was thinking about Paul and how he's sitting there preaching the cross and all the things that he went through. And I can imagine towards the end of his life, you know, he wanted to go to Rome. That was his main thing. He wanted to go preach the Word of God in Rome. Does everybody know that? If you don't, study it a little bit. It'll do you good, okay? He wanted to go to Rome. That was his whole main purpose. I wanted to go preach the gospel in Rome. Thought it'd change everything, right? He gets to Rome. What did they do? They locked him up. Now, he could have gotten really mad and said, you know what, God? I made it all the way to Rome, and now you've locked me up, and now I can't preach it like I thought. Have you ever thought about this? Every 8 hours, he got a new guard. Every 8 hours, he got a new guard. Can you imagine Paul getting locked up to you? Can you imagine Paul, you're the jailer, and Paul is locked up to you for 8 hours a day, all the gospel you'd hear, preaching to somebody for 8 hours. He's got their undivided attention for 8 hours. Can change their life. I think Paul did all right, don't you? Everybody in the jail had to hear Paul. You ever thought about that? It may not have been outside the jail, but guess what? Everybody inside did. Can you imagine one of them people getting out of the jail thinking, that dude is a nut. He's in the jail. He preaches every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Monday. He's having a Bible class. There's something wrong with this guy. He's changing this jailer, taking him everywhere, just telling him, hey, you know what God did for you on the cross? You know that he died for you. You know that he shed his blood for you. You know what God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ still died for us? Can you imagine being tied to somebody like that? It'd drive you nuts, wouldn't it? I bet you'd be getting ready to get your life right, wouldn't you? You hear that much gospel, and then you wonder why I preach it so much. Because I want you to know what it is. I want you to know that it'll change your life. It'll change your perspective on life. It will change who you are. It's the cross of Jesus Christ. It is important. It is more than just symbols. It's what he died on. It's what he shed his blood on for you. He gave his all on a cross just for you because he loved you that much. He loved you that much. Here's the thing. Do you know him as your personal Lord and Savior? That's the first thing. Do you have a true personal relationship with Jesus Christ? A true personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, like, you remember the moment in time when you got down on your knees before God and said, please save my sorry soul from hell. You remember it? Because if you don't, I'd get it settled. I'd get that settled today. Because you don't know if you've got it tomorrow. You say, oh, but I do. No, you don't know. Trust me, you don't. They're dying every single day. Every single day. Young, old, doesn't matter. You better have your eternity settled. You better have that settled. You know what that can do? That can give you some peace. Because when you think about where she's at now, you know, hey, she's doing a whole lot better than we are. We're struggling with it, but she ain't struggling no more. She's praising God, just having herself a good time. I didn't get to meet her. I didn't know her. But I'm telling you right now, I've heard enough stories about her. I'm pretty sure she had her eternity settled. And guess what? She's just having herself a time right now. All of us just waiting to get there, right? But if you don't have a personal relationship with him, you better get that settled today, because you're not promised tomorrow. You sit there and say, I'm dealing with stuff in my life. You know who he is? Truthfully know who he is? So he can help you. Maybe you are saved and you're still dealing with something in your life. Guess what? He's the only one that can fix it. At my lowest points, he was the only one that could fix it. When everything in my life is falling apart, he's the only one I could go to that I could get real, true peace. You say, well, he can't fix this. Yeah. Yeah, he can. That's where you're wrong. He can fix it. It's just, are you willing to let him fix it? But you don't understand the situation. It doesn't matter what the situation is. It doesn't make any difference what it is. I don't care what the situation is. God, fix it. And there ain't nothing bigger than God. You thought about that? There ain't no situation you got bigger than God. He'll fix it one way or the other. But you got to be willing to let him. Miss Barbara's going to come play. Just stand to your feet if you're able. Bow your heads. Close your eyes. If you need to talk to God about something, now would be a real good time to do that. If you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, I'd love to have the opportunity to be able to just read a few scriptures for you and show you how that you can know that you know that you're saved. I can get you pointed in the right direction. God's the one to do the saving. And you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're dealing with something in your life and you don't know how to handle it, why don't you turn it over to God and let Him have it. As she plays this morning.